Welcome back to Sight to the Blind. I am truly honored to have this guest on. I had a sister on before that. She was part of Delta Theta Sigma. And now I have a brother who's used to be in Greek life and now came out of it and to search for the Most High Yahuwah as an Israelite man, learning to be in this kingdom as a Yasharelli. So let my guest introduce himself.
Hey, all praise to the Most High, first and foremost. Appreciate you, Brother Larry, for bringing me on. I'm Jared Scipio, but a lot of people know me as the Watchman on the Wall on TikTok, Instagram. You can find me Watchman OTW on there.
Kicking it off, how did you get into coming into this awakening and this walk? What year was it? Because I usually ask guests, and they always say like around 2017, 2018 is when they were awakened. When was your awakening?
So it was kind of, I was in a rock and a hard place. I had dropped out of college. So going into 2019, I started questioning a lot of things. I was in a fraternity at the time. And I had one of my best friends. We were always into conspiracy. So we both in the truth now. And we had a lot of questions because I grew up in the church, grew up hearing a lot of things. But I always had kind of a rational mindset to where certain things didn't add up to me. Certain things weren't clicking. So I started asking a lot of questions, but it wasn't until the top of 2022 where the Most High fully revealed my identity as an Israelite and other things in the scriptures that I wasn't aware of before. So around between the stages of, it was a buildup from 2019 to 2022.
Okay. And before all of that, before you even knew who Yahuwah was, before you knew about this awakening, how was your life preparing yourself to be in a Greek organization?
So it's interesting. Not to dishonor my parents in any way, but I was born out of wedlock. Their relationship didn't work out. So because of the consequences of that relationship, I didn't get to grow up with my father. So I was raised by my stepfather, who's a good man, and I love him. He's been there for me since day one. But I wasn't told that I had a different father from my siblings till I was 13. So I was dealing with that wound of trying to find myself and trying to figure out who I wanted to be because, you know, I'm growing up with my family, but I don't look like them. I don't act like them. I'm a misfit. And even pretty much my whole life, I've been a misfit. I never fit in with anybody. Even though I was cool with everybody, I never fit in. So I was just trying to find a level of prestige or quote unquote brotherhood like they always tell us and they would sell us on and find a group of people that were like-minded in order for us to, I guess, achieve a higher goal for, you know, the black race, because that's how they get you.
Right.
That's how they get you.
What organization was it?
So I'm a former member of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. So they pride themselves in being the first, technically, black Greek organization. So members like Martin Luther King, W.E. Du Bois, Dick Gregory, a lot of people, even Lionel Richie. So they would, Thurgood Marshall, which when you study his background, you would see why they had him in that fraternity. But right. Yeah.
And what did they try to impress upon you? I know you said it because the black celebrity or the Negro celebrity at that time, what were they offering to make that entice you? Like, okay, I want to join this organization.
So it was interesting for me because when I went into college, I was actually going to play football. That didn't work out. So I was so used to being on a team because, like I said previously, I was searching for an identity, searching for a group of people or something to make me feel like I was part of something because I was lacking that because not knowing my father for that long. So once the whole football thing didn't work out, I started getting involved in Black Student Union, getting involved on campus. And they started seeing me, kind of eyeing me out because I would be at the events, I would be speaking, doing poetry on campus. So like, okay, this guy got potential because that's how they do it. They always look at people that have potential so they can kind of mold you into what they want you to do for the fraternity. They groom people for certain roles that they know that can do certain things for them. So I kind of got interested into it because I see they kind of had pull around campus. I was kind of dealing with that low self-esteem after everything that was taking place. So, you know, I was like trying to get involved with the women, trying to get involved on campus, trying to be seen. And I seen how they were at the parties. I'm like, man, these guys got a lot of influence. These guys got a lot of clout. So it was kind of mutual. I reached out to somebody who's in a sorority that knew a brother, because it's kind of like you got to do this whole behind the scene things to get to talk to the people. It's so dumb when you think about it, though. It's foolish.
And
So
how was the hazing process?
I was hazed, man. I was hazed. So when they sold me on everything, they said, "Yeah, man, everything we're gonna do is for the betterment of our people. Everything that you're gonna go through, all of our former members already went through, and even the greatest people in the fraternity went through this. So it's only gonna build you up and make you stronger." So that's what they sell you on. Meanwhile, when I started getting introduced into the pledging process, that's when that movie, I don't know if you ever seen it on Netflix, Burning Sands came out.
I've heard of it. I tried to watch it and I just never finished it.
So they were a little bit more intense than my process, but that stuff does go down. So if you see that movie, that stuff does go down. I know brothers that was getting paddled like 100 times in a night. Yeah, so I'm pretty, you see my complexion, I'm pretty yellow. So it'd be some nights that, my bottom be black.
Dang.
They have us doing all kind of push-ups, all kind of stuff, we had to recite all this information. But the funny part is that a lot of the information you had to remember it, but you don't even know why you're remembering it. And that's how they kind of trick you into getting into these oaths. Because they give you some information to say, "Hey, memorize this. By tonight, you and your brothers got to be able to recite it. If not, you have consequences." But we will be reciting oaths. We will be reciting Masonic poems, not even knowing the background. And one of the things we actually had to remember was the location of the first meeting for the fraternity, which they tell you was in a Masonic lodge.
Wow, okay.
So they tell you that, and I'm thinking, because I grew up in Christianity, I was like, Masonry? I was like, nah, but this is for the fraternity because they're Christian based. That's how they get you. They said this is Christian based.
So do they use any of the scriptures during the process of the oaths that you have to recite?
Oh, absolutely. They use Ruth. When Ruth was talking to Naomi, and she's basically saying, "Where you go, I'll go. Your God will be my God. Your people shall be my people." Basically, you become one with the fraternity and whatnot. So you will recite that with your brothers. They use a few other scriptures, but also they would have prayers as well. And the symbol of Alpha was this sign, which I'm still trying to figure out what that even means. I don't know if it was a Masonic symbol. I'm pretty sure it is. But we would gather in prayer circles, and in our prayer circles, we'll all be crossed like this, interlocking fingers, praying to the Most High, quote unquote. But we'll be interlocking, doing this symbology in our prayer. So it's really weird how deep this stuff gets.
And when did you feel like, okay, it was time to step away? Was it after your awakening, or was it just a process you were already kind of thinking when you were leaving it?
So it was more so into my awakening, because I was very prideful when it came to the fraternity. I was the dude that had I would be rocking the shirt all the time. I had the pl license plate on every car I had. So I was that guy. But when I it was the end of 2021 when the Most High really revealed everything to me, because the year prior, my wife and I, we were actually homeless in the car for like 3 or 4 months. So I actually made a video about that the other day, and it was the Most High's judgment to kind of start steering me into that path of learning the truth. Because I grew up in Christianity, I started doing a whole bunch of craziness in college after I had pledged and all of that, and there was things that I was doing I know that were an abomination to the Most High, and led us to that point. And when we were in the car, I was like, "Dang, like we got here ourselves. Like this is my actions. This is the Most High's judgment." But I didn't know how deep his judgment went, because I didn't understand the scripture, but I knew it was the Most High punishing me. So during that time, I would listen to preachings and stuff like Miles Monroe. And one of his preachings, he said, "Father, teach me your precepts." And I didn't even know what I was saying. I said, "Man, I'm gonna just start praying that." So by the end of the year, I started having a lot of questions because we joined the church. But I was like, I feel like they're still not answering these questions. And I love history. I said, I feel like the people in the Bible are black. I feel like they just lying about a lot of stuff. So the end of 21, I got on my knees like in November. I started praying. I said, "Father, I just want you to show the truth to me. Like I feel like they lying about a lot of stuff, and they I just feel like there's a lot of missing pieces that they're not trying to give us." So at the top of 2022, I came across a Darby video about Who Are We? And I was like, "Whoa, this makes sense." I saw a clip on TikTok. He was talking about the Khazars and the Ashkenazis. I said, wow, I never thought about it like that. I found his channel and started going down the rabbit hole with all the stuff. And then I came across his video, The Black Gatekeepers, when he was talking about the fraternities and sororities. And I was just in utter disbelief. Like, I was speechless. And when you kind of, it's like that sick to your stomach feeling, like, dang, like I was really part of this. I'm really part of the problem here. Like, I'm really committing these atrocities and abominations before the Most High. And it's funny because one of my best friends, we met through the fraternity. We both in the truth now. I sent him that video and he said, bro, dang, this is true. So that's what really propelled me to study and seek after the Most High.
Okay, you say you're married. You still married?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So, before you were married, does fraternity or Greek life push hypersexuality on you?
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
100%. Literally, so I don't know if you've ever been to a probate, like the revealing of the new members of the fraternity.
Yeah, I've been to one.
So, you take your mask off or whatever. And when I tell you, it was such an ecstatic energy from the women just screaming after they saw it was me under there. I just knew it was something that changed. You could feel like a spiritual feeling, like this is like, whoa, like you were just immersed in that energy. And we had a party after, and I was like, man, I never received so much attention in my life. It's like it was fiending. Like I just felt like some kind of spiritual thing opened up. But we were some of our rituals, we were like literally bow down before an altar. So it makes sense why all this stuff was happening.
Right. That part is deep, because I know I have a lot of brothers that I know of, that I'm so close to somewhat, or in fraternities. My father is IOTA.
Okay.
He got the branded eyes on it, and he really
Yep.
don't doesn't he doesn't go much into it and talking to me. And even I showed up when I was in college. I showed up at a alpha meeting because I wanted to join it. One of my close friends, he's an alpha, so he tried to get me to join too. It's me and grades didn't match. So you had to have that 2 point something
Yeah.
GPA. I was like, nah, I'm too focused on football to even be focused on Greek life. But once you met your wife, how did you have to grow through removing all of, or purging all of the things that you learned in Greek life and your single life into becoming a husband of the Most High?
So that's pretty deep because it was a process. We had moved in with each other at like 20, because I had dropped out at the end of 2018 because I was in such a place of darkness. I got into drunkenness, a lot of fornication. I had a lot of rage as well because of the stuff that I went through growing up, that it was unresolved. So I was going through a lot. But we met in high school, and she reached out to me when I was in college. She said, hey, I really want to be with you, blah blah blah. And I said, nah, I knew what I was doing. I said, nah, you don't want to be with me. Like, I'm not a good guy. But then the Most High was like kind of showing me, like, nah, she's the woman that you need to be with. So there was a lot of ways I had to unlearn. And then when we started living together, we started going to her uncle's church, which kind of set the foundation for us to like live right. Because to an extent, churches, they tell you like this is wrong, this is right, but not the full scope. You know what I'm saying? So we ended up getting married in 2020, and I knew I had to step up. Once we got into the situation where we were in the car, it's like a light switch went on in my head. Like, yo, you're not a child no more. You got to grow up. Because I was about 22 when that happened, and we found out we were having our firstborn, our son. So that was even a greater motivator. So while we were in the car, I was doing DoorDash all day, hustling all day. Like we was in the gym in the morning. I wasn't just being lazy. Like the Most High was working on me, on teaching me hard work and being a man, and teaching me how to take care of my wife and to take care of my future son through that situation. Although it was a very dark situation in our lives, like the Most High, he uses what was meant for evil for good for us, especially when he's chastening us. Because he loves us. He knew that, like, I needed that, that belt to age so I could wake up. Because I was bad with money. I did all kind of stupid stuff. So that situation really propelled me into being the man I needed to be for my wife, just unfazed and making sure that I sacrificed my all, because that's what we're supposed to do as a husband, is you sacrificing your all. So
What was your job when you had your wife?
I was in the property management industry for about 6 years. We had moved down here to Dallas from Ohio, And we had no plan, no money, just dumb stuff. And the Most High was like, oh, this is the opportune time so I could really show you what you need to do. So right now I'm in public safety at the airport, but that's another story.
Right. As long as you're working, you know what I mean?
No, I'm working. Trust me, they working
Right.
me to the bone, brother. Hey.
And how is your wife into the truth too, or she's following you because you woke up first, and how did that dynamic go?
So it's crazy, bro, honestly, because my wife, she's been down with me for a long time. Like she's been my number one fan. She's been my number one motivator, my number one supporter. But when we started getting into the truth, she was like, wow, this makes sense. Like, but we were still going to a church at the time. And because we was listening to Darby, and Darby was kind of like on that, you could be a Hebrew and a Christian, which we know it don't work. You can't have both. The two can't agree, obviously. So we were going to a church. We were really immersed. I was doing security at the church, and she was involved in the church. And we really started studying a lot of the scriptures that they were misconstruing. The whole thing with the tithes, how they was playing people with their money, because it has nothing to do with money. All these, if you give an offering, God's gonna do this. The Most High, they use God. But I said, this ain't right. And then we had went out to a game night one day with some of the people in the church, and they was like around our age group. And I had got into a debate because I said, none of this stuff y'all doing is right about the tithe and offering, because we had stopped giving money to the church and we started allocating like some of that money. If we saw somebody homeless, we're like, hey, let's go get them some food. Let's go get them some clothes. Let's take care of those who are in need, like the scripture commands us to do. And it was like at the top of 2023, I had a car that the transmission went out. So the Most High used the church to bless me with a vehicle free of charge. So people was mad at me when they said I don't when I said I don't tithe. I said I don't give money to the church, and they looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, no, the Most High was blessing me in faithfulness because I was taking care of those in need. So he returned that for me, not knowing that I would need that one day in the future. So after that whole situation, it's like people started acting really shady, and I was like, you know what? I told my wife, I said, hey, it's time for us to leave because there's a lot of stuff going on. They're preaching false doctrines. We can't get, they're doing these holidays. The church was full of Greeks, full of Masons, and they was like all in leadership positions. And I'm like, nah, this ain't right. And I spoke to a lot of the members that was part of these organizations. And there was an old head brother that was like, he's an Omega. I said, hey, brother, I'm not an alpha no more because of X, Y, and Z, the rituals we did, all the stuff we did. He looked down to the floor, kind of in shame. He said, you're right, but I can't let go of it. And I was like, whoa, like, but these are people that's supposed to be leading us into spiritual enlightenment.
I would never understand that either. They know exactly what they're doing, but because of the prestige, and it's really, like you said, the insecurity when you go into an organization, you're looking for an identity. And once you have that identity, you can't let go of it because that's who you are. Like I can only imagine, like brothers had the sweatshirts, they had the emblems on, they had
Oh, yeah.
them, like you
Oh,
said,
yeah.
the bumper sticker, like everything that was black and gold or purple and military print or whatever. It
Yep.
just went to a whole new level that that's all they are, and they can't just let go of that. Did you ever go through the process of really repenting, like a lot of times for joining an
Oh,
organization, or you did it just one time?
no, I repented over the course of time because of all the oaths I made that I didn't even know. One of the symbols for Alpha is the Sphinx. And the Sphinx is used in masonry as well. And we know it's used in Egyptian worship and Babylonian, all that stuff. So I had a literal Sphinx statue that they gave me after I had crossed. And I was just keeping it. This was when me and my wife first started living together. I have it like on my nightstand. She started questioning me. She's like, don't you think something's off with that? I said, nah, it's just a symbol for the fraternity. It's just African greatness, whatever. So I had idols in my house. I had all kind of stuff in the house. So I had to repent for that, repent for the sexual immorality that came about with that, the drunkenness, the oaths that we made. There was one ritual we did where we had to eat the food of the gods. So we were blindfolded and we had to eat some kind of nasty food dedicated to gods. And I was like, man, what are we doing here? Like, after a while, I started questioning certain things, but you're so lustful after this prestige and this greatness that you put all your morals aside for what I can have or what I can gain. So that's That's crazy. But another funny thing for the people that are like, nah, it has nothing to do with masonry. The Seal of Alpha is black and gold, and you have like three knights on there. And the three knights are going through three different phases, which we know the main three phases of masonry is what? Apprentice, craftsman, and master mason. So in Alpha, the first phase is like a Sphinx man, an ape, and then you're an Alpha man. So it's like, where do they get this symbology from? If it's not Masonic, where is it from? So these people, they lie straight in your face, man. It's crazy. It is crazy.
What was your line name?
Fortitude.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going through like a dark period. I had a lot of my mom said that I had a lot going on, so I was able to overcome that phase or whatever. So they gave me that name, but it's dumb when I think about it now. So dumb.
In your relationships, has your woman given you any pushback in this truth? Because obviously you have to be a strong leader, especially with our women these days. It's a struggle. I know a lot of brothers that I talk to, they struggling right now with trying to get their wife on track to respect what they say and their headship in the house. Have you ever gone through any stumbling blocks with your Ishai?
So when we first left the church, yeah, because what I was saying prior, when we, I got into debate with the people at that game night, they started, kind of, disrespecting and kind of trying to think we was crazy in a sense. And after we had left, there was like women in that group and other people that was sowing seeds of discord behind my back, telling my wife about me and how what I'm doing is wrong and all this other stuff. I was like, what? I said, these people's crazy. I said, first of all, that's an abomination to sow seeds of discord. Like, that's a big punishment, especially you doing that between husband and wife. And I told my wife, I said, if these people were really your friends, they would respect our marriage. So that was hard for her, the emotional piece. And then the holidays were hard for her because he was so used to that whole family time. But now it's like, we really don't care. Like, family was trying to reach out to us. I was like, y'all know I don't do this. Like, so it was a little struggle, but when we had first left 2 years ago, my wife was she just had our second child. So, that postpartum, all that stuff together, it was hard. So I reached out to my brothers that are in the troop. I said, hey, man, like I love my wife. I need her with me. Like, this is a struggle. Like, I never felt this much discord. Just keep me in prayer. And I brought it before the Most High. I said, y'all, like, I'm trying to do the right things. Like, I know what your word is true. Like, your word is true. I know what you're saying is right. I said, I'm trying to do the right things. So it took a little bit of time, but I would start playing like Truth Unedited, start playing other teachings about certain things that we hadn't covered by listening to Darby, because he was, like I said, he was still on that Hebrew Christian mentality. So after we really started going in depth with that, she was like, you know what? I was so blinded by everything and the emotions of all that period. But it takes patience for the brothers that are struggling. It just takes patience, and how you treat your wife in this process is how she's going to receive, the word. I heard you speak about it one time in one of your pods about just like, say you get into an argument with your wife, and the next thing you do is just start rubbing her feet or wash her feet. That's going to change her entire perspective. So it's really the approach, because I could be a rah-rah guy. I could be a little, football and all that stuff and competing and stuff. You ready, you hype. So I was like, no, nah, I can't, for this, I can't treat my wife like that. Like, she needs patience. She needs long suffering and love and tenderness. So,
Was that something that was hard for you to do? Did you have much practice in being soft and being gentle? Or did you struggle in the first time being like, ah, no, you got to do this. Like, you're going to get us thrown out this kingdom, like, with a little bit of the fear.
A few things. Like, one time she needed something from the store. I said, no, nah, I'm not going nowhere. It's the Sabbath. And that's when I was following like Fridays, Friday, Saturday, Saturday, whatever. I said, we're not going nowhere. I'm not buying nothing. She over here pissed and stuff. I said, I'm not going nowhere. So the Most High definitely calmed me down. Like, all right, you gotta be patient, because he was patient with me, very patient with me, very patient and merciful. So that's how I see it now.
What was y'all's plan for, in the end times and resources get scarce? What is your plan with you and your wife and how you can take care of your family when that time happens?
Yeah, so I have three children as well, and another one on the way. So I'm thinking about making sure they're okay. And I also think about Joseph, when the famine hit Egypt. The Most High told him to stack up on certain things for a certain amount of years, for 7 years. Now, I may not have everything I need because we don't know what's going to happen. If we're going to have to evacuate, we don't know how that's going to look. But as a father and a husband, I got to make sure at least we have the basics. I have some basic protection. I'm in Texas, so everybody, down here be toted up. So I think about that kind of stuff, and I try to be as self-sufficient as possible in regards to the system, not trying to rely too much on their kind of medicines. I'm going the natural route, things like that. But at the end of the day, the Most High knows what's going to happen. But like even the Messiah said, he said, "He who has a coat, go sell it for a sword," because there may be a time where you had to somebody at your front door, "Hey, what you gonna do?" There may be a time where you had to step up and use that courage for the Most High, to protect your family. We don't know what's gonna happen, so just trying to be prepared to an extent.
How was the relationship between her parents and your parents when you all both in the
That's a struggle because
truth?
her family, they come heavy in church. Everybody's like ministers and pastors. My mom and stepdad, they had a church for a few years. So it's kind of like when you try to tell them stuff and you show them in the scripture, they can't see beyond their tradition. That's the hardest part. And it's really sad because the scripture's clear, like, I came to separate brother and brother and sister and all that stuff, father from son. So when you think about that stuff, it's like, okay, if the Messiah already declared it, why should I be upset? It hurts because it's like I'm trying to tell y'all the truth. I'm trying to teach y'all the way to go, but why would they listen to a prophet that they birthed? Why would they listen to, it's going to be hard for them to listen. So
So, have you tried to sow some seeds here and there or drop some hints?
I do every now and then, but then it's get like recently my mother, she had hit me up for Christmas saying, this is the day I know you don't celebrate Christmas, but this is the day we honor our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I said, Ma, like the Most High doesn't receive worship in the way that the heathens worship him. We can't do that. I gave her a few scriptures. I said, "Hey, I love you. I'm not debating with you, but you need to revise or review X, Y, and Z."
And
No
how she take
response.
it?
No response. I'm just like,
She left you on red.
all right. Just a little, okay, I love you. She didn't respond to that. She just responded, "I love you." That was it. I'm like,
And
all right.
what
Like,
about friends?
so it's funny, my closest friends, they both in the truth. So it's been an easy process to actually have those brothers. The one that he was in a fraternity with me, and then one that we was like best friends since sophomore year of high school. So it's funny how we all kind of like woke up at the same time.
All right. So, and you're a content creator too. So, have you met any troubles or stumbling blocks or snares of the people who were just not getting one particular part in scripture that it, no matter how much you hammer it in their heads, they still not getting it?
Yeah, it's a lot. I would say when it comes to anytime you bring up unclean foods, the Sabbaths, the feast days, the holy days, and when you bring up their favorite pastors, I recently made a video about Philip Anthony. When I tell you, them cows was jumping, they was
Oh,
going
I bet,
ham.
man. I love
Man.
going into him because it
Oh
always brings them
man.
out. It always brings them out.
Oh man, it's like a moth to the flame. They just ready to fight. I said, man, y'all just all right. I was like, it got to the point. I said, I can't even respond to y'all no more. I'm just, they talking about I'm a clown. I said, all right, y'all gonna see. Y'all gonna see the truth.
What are you exposed about him?
Just the I made a video about him talking about how he's a manipulator and how I used to do that kind of stuff. So I said, I used to work in sales, so I know what it's like to try to get somebody to do something. You know what I'm saying? So I'm looking at all the cues, all the emotionalism, and I grew up in New York. So I already know that loud mouth talk and all the rah. I know all that. So I said, this guy's a clown. Like, I already know, I could see through all that. Like, no, he's a man of God. And it's mostly women. I'm like, bro, y'all don't know nothing. Like,
That is what that scripture says in Timothy, ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth.
never, never. Yeah.
And what about the unclean foods? I would like to hear your take on that as well.
So I first from a scientific standpoint, anybody that understand, I'm big in health and taking care of my body. Just from a scientific standpoint, a lot of these foods are not good for you. And then plus, understanding that these fools are sacrificing to idols. Like, I know you was going over Maccabees, how swine was clearly used to sacrifice unto idols. And when we see all these pagan holidays, they always eat swine. They always eat stuff that we're not supposed to be eating, and they don't know why we keep getting sick, especially our people, why we can't break from certain diseases, is because most of it's because we eat enslaved food. We're not even supposed to be eating that.
Right. Right.
So it's an abomination. Anytime people hit me with the, you know, Paul said this, Paul said that, I just go to Isaiah 66. That's future prophecy. We know if you eat swine, you're going to be destroyed by the sword and fire. I'm not touching that.
Right.
Yeah, so.
I do wonder why they always use that, too. They're like, oh, nothing can be refused if it's blessed or received with thanksgiving by the Most High. Like, I don't know why they skipped over that. And then, like, Paul being a Benjamite, he wouldn't jump over Leviticus just to make that point and say everything is clean because you prayed for it.
Not at all. Not at all. And isn't, don't, doesn't the Sefer, because I don't have a Sefer yet, I'm going to order one, but I think in the beginning of the Sefer, when you look into the book of Romans, it tells you the writers of it weren't even Paul.
Right, right.
So that just gives us a deeper insight of the interpretations or misinterpretation of what they think that we're supposed to be doing. Which even, I mean, what, 2 Peter 3, where Peter warned us that in all of Paul's writings, this thing's hard to understand, right, and y'all go twist them. To your own demise, and that's what they do with every other doctrine. So I'm not even surprised. So,
and it's more your followers or more those who try to antagonize you. You know, they come from a Christian background.
Oh, 100%, 100%. Yeah.
Is it more Gentile or our people?
It's really, I'll say the people that fight me the most is our people. I'd be surprised. There's a lot of Gentiles that be in my comments like, "Hey, brother, appreciate the work you're doing. All praise to Yahuwah." I'm like, bro, like, they getting it faster than some of our own people.
Right.
I'm like, this is crazy. But yeah, it's really our people that give us the biggest headaches.
And how do you change the way you kind of attack that problem? Or you just stay, this is how I am, this is how I teach, and this is how I'm going to go from here. Do you ever like, okay, let me revamp and try to change something to enlighten them a little bit more?
I try to be long suffering with people, and like how we talking now is how I talk. I like, if I'm on there, I'm not out here screaming and shouting at people like the camps and all of that. I just don't do that. I'll raise my voice a little bit to get a point across, but I share scripture. But at the end of the day, people have to have the ear to hear. So it's only so much we could do to an extent. At the end of the day, we just here to plant seeds, but we have no power to give somebody the ruach to understand.
Right. And then you don't take, well, I don't know how you were at the beginning of your content creating, but in the beginning we were like, why ain't they getting it? Like, like we thought that we had the power to awaken people up and show them the proper way. And it was after a while, you like, why am I forcing myself to try to make them see it when it's just, it ain't in the cards to see it.
Yeah. Truth Unedited just did a video like that. He said, I'm not even going to keep talking about Christmas. Like, I'm just convinced y'all not going to get it at this point. That's I'm paraphrasing, but that's kind of what he said in his last video. I said, yeah, it's gotten to the point where the scripture clearly declares that in Daniel that in the last days, knowledge shall be increased. There's going to be no excuse for people with all this technology, all this information right at the tips of our fingers for people to not get it. Right. There's not going to be any more excuses because you have all these, you have too many tools and resources to not know the truth now.
Right. And that's how I feel with people who are still attached to this world. Were you a big sports guy or a guy to watch a lot of sports games and going to sports games? Because a lot of people, you tell them like, yo, there's something funny about this, but they'd be like, nah, there ain't nothing funny about it. What is your take on that?
So football, I was ingrained. Like, that's my bread and butter. Like, I love football to the death of me. Like, it was my entire life. I don't even watch it no more. Because I've seen how many of the games were rigged. But when I was younger, I knew something was off. I was like, how is it that Tom Brady's going to the Super Bowl every year?
Right.
Like, I never thought he was that good. That's my personal opinion.
Right. Now, I'm with you on that.
I just never thought, like, he was that. I'm like, is he really as good as they say he is? And then the one year they maybe I was a teenager still, like, the year that they played the Seahawks in the Super Bowl, and they could have gave the ball to Marshawn, but they threw the pass. I said, why would they do that? So that led me down another rabbit hole, conspiracies. I'm a big boxing fan. I did watch the fight with Anthony Joshua and Jake Paul. I just wanted him to get his mouth shut, but I started seeing the symbology and the whole car accident. I said, these people literally control every ritual. They control everything.
Everything,
So,
everything.
yeah.
So, what would you say to brothers who are still attached to that sports world? How can you get them out of it?
I would just really enlighten them, like, because I know you're big into gematria, and I was like, wow, this actually makes sense. How they do all this, all these numbers and all these dates, and they off people on certain dates or people that wore the same numbers. I'm like, bro, this is crazy. But also just thinking about to the Romans, just give them a circus and bread, the gladiators. This was a form of entertainment just to keep people, shut. And when you see the amount of energy that's harvested from people, like talking about buying all the gear, going to all these games, and you wasting all this energy yelling for people that can't even see you or don't even know you. It's kind of ridiculous. I heard this one brother say, it was Eric Thomas, the hip hop preacher. It was a while back, and I stopped watching football before that. After he said this, he said, you over here know every stat from LeBron or every stat from your favorite football player, but you ain't got no stats of your own. You ain't got no stats in life." I said, "Dang, I'm over here wasting 2, 3 hours watching football when I could be working on myself or doing something for the Most High." So that really started getting me out of that like a few years ago. I can't even really enjoy it anymore because I know it's like, why would you call that play? That don't even make sense. Yeah.
It just make you frustrated. Even if you weren't a fan, you was just watching just for entertainment basis. You'd be like, why would you even do that? It would just piss you off.
It looks dumb. Yeah, a lot of stuff looks dumb. Like, because when you actually play the sport, it's like, that don't even make sense how they pull that off. So, yeah.
What is you would you say that the vices that you overcame throughout this journey?
So crazy. I don't know how much time we have,
Oh,
but
we got time.
okay. So it's crazy when I tell you I got exposed to pornography when I was like 11 years old in a church. So this one dude, it was like some night vigil service where the kids were supposed to be praying, which was dumb. Like, where are the parents at? It was like one or two adults there. And this kid, it was the time we had iPods and stuff. I'm 27, so I'm on the younger side. And he's like, "Hey, bro, look at this." And we like, "Bro, what the heck?" So after that, like, it seared my mind and it led me down the path of lust. And come to find out, my dad, I didn't know my dad. My dad dealt with lust heavily. My dad just met his father 3 years ago. My grandfather didn't know he had my dad, and he dealt with lust heavily. And my grandfather's also a Mason.
Wow,
So,
fam. It jumped.
So, and I have a cousin in the NBA. And I'll send it to you so you can see. I'm not going to say his name, but when you see him, you're like, yeah, he's involved in something. Because he was at an all-white party. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah, 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 yeah. So I come from a family full of Masons on that side. Didn't even know. And then my father's grandmother, my great-grandmother, she was an Eastern Star. Then I have a great-grandmother from my mother's side. She was into witchcraft. So all these things trickled down, and it was so easy for me to fall into that same sin, not even knowing I was practicing witchcraft doing this kind of stuff. But yeah, I fell into pornography. So that took me years to overcome because once that, sears your mind, it's like that lust is not satisfied. Once I got to college, it was the fornication because I'm all for way. I was in a fraternity. I was doing whatever. Got into drunkenness. And then eventually I got into rage. It got to the point where I had my first property management job when I dropped out of school. And this dude was talking crazy. And he said, "Oh yeah, I'm gonna break this dude's face." Like, when I tell you, some spirit, I felt like something come over me. I jumped across the room so quick, like I jumped out of my shoes. I'm not even exaggerating. So I was dealing with rage heavily, and that's just stuff that the Most High had to purge me from because of the stuff I was involved with. So
Why did you leave school early?
During that time, after I had pledged to the fraternity, I got nominated to be the president of Black Student Union the following semester. So I'm balancing events for the fraternity, balancing my job on campus, and then my grades took a big hit while I was pledging because, I'm over here trying to memorize all this information. We over here at set almost every night practicing for this stuff and getting paddled every night. And they want, and that's the hypocrisy. They wanted us to maintain our grades, but meanwhile, we got to be here every night practicing for this fraternity stuff, which is so dumb. So I had a bad relationship on that campus where I was at. And it kind of led me down that rabbit hole. I was in a deep depression. I didn't know I was depressed because I was angry all the time, but it was a form of depression I didn't understand. And I was going through so much darkness that I would see a shadow over me in my room every night. Like, it was the real spirit in there. And my wife had came to visit me when we first got together, the end of, like, my sophomore year. And she said, "It's something wrong in your room. It feels weird in here." I said, "Nah, everything's fine." But I was really dealing with all them spirits, man. So my grades were going down the drain. So I was like, "You know what? It's time to leave school. I'm over here drinking all the time. I'm not doing anything productive. I'm on a path to self-destruction. So if I don't leave, I don't know what's going to happen this next semester."
Okay. And how did you, man, that's, bro, to have that many generations involved with masonry,
And
it's
not
really
even
like no
know, yeah.
surprise where it called to you. And it probably felt, that spirit probably felt like, I want to make sure that shadow we figure was, I'm going to make sure that he fulfills that bloodline so we can jump onto his children and all that. And I
Right.
think the depression is like you trying to separate, but not knowing what you're separating from.
Right.
It's like that. It's like a hazy fog that you can't really understand until you get to where we are now and be like, oh, this is why
That
I
makes
felt the way I
sense.
felt.
Yeah.
Did you have to repent heavily and fast heavily to get those spirits up off you?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because for a while too, I'll be having a whole bunch of sexual dreams, like those I guess what they call Marine Kingdom dreams, where you see these spirits and they're trying to do stuff with you when you sleep, or succubus or incubus. I would have dreams of like black cats and snakes trying to bite me, stuff like that. So I started praying and fasting, and ever since we got into the truth, we was like, I haven't it's rare if I get attacked in my sleep, all praise to Yah. But even when we was in the church, I'm like, dang, why do we keep having all these dreams and stuff? Because we wasn't still full of the truth. But they was teaching us in that denomination, like, oh, you gotta pray in tongues to get rid of this stuff.
Was it Pentecost?
It was like a Pentecostal,
Okay.
yeah. So we was going, the last church we went to was Church of God in Christ, which is like the biggest black Pentecostal denomination. But it's funny because they move just like a fraternity. And if you see their leader, like if I send you a picture of them, you probably be like, yeah, he looks like a Mason too. It's like I could see, ever since I was in the fraternity, I could see it on people now. I'm like, ah, yeah, they're part of something. I just know they got something on them. But
How are you going to raise your son now? Are you going to raise, what if he comes to you like, I'm thinking about joining, or I'm thinking about, being a part of this club or this organization? How will you deal with that?
so from a young age, so he's 4 now, so almost every single day, if I'm not like working overtime, we read the scriptures together, we pray, we go over the commandments. Recently, we did a burnt offering together, so I had him help me set up the wood for the burnt offering.
Okay, good.
So I'm teaching, my daughters, I'm teaching them, hey, this is what we do. We don't do this, we don't do that. And my son, he'll be like, oh yeah, we don't eat pork. Why do people eat pork? Why do people do this? I'm like, son, because people don't know the Most High, so they're doing so. He understands that there's things. So I'm instructing him the way that he should go. At the end of the day, he's gonna grow and mature and be a man for himself. But I'm making sure I'm giving him the tools. And we're also going the homeschool route.
Okay.
Because I was actually going to school to be an educator. So by the time I left, this was 2018, they was already teaching that there was six genders. I was taking an early childhood development class for the education course. And they said, oh yeah, there's six genders. I was just like, nah, this next generation is gonna be toast. So me and my wife already came to the conclusion we just go and do everything at the crib. He already learning now, smart as heck. So
Okay. Good, good. And your, how old is your daughters?
I have a daughter that's 2, and a daughter she'll be 8 months. So then we having another boy. So
Okay, damn,
yeah,
you ready back to back to back. You getting them out the way.
trying to get them out the way. That's it, bro.
And how are
That's
you
it.
going to deal with your daughters when they become teenagers? I mean, hopefully this system is destroyed and it is teetering down on the lasciviousness, but how are you going to deal with that?
Well, how they, I think the biggest part is just seeing how they see me treat their mom. Because there's so many women that, I mean, unfortunately, that I would prey on in college that I know they didn't come from a good family. And then the good girls that I knew, I'm like, nah, I wouldn't mess with them because I know they come from a good family. So they have some sense. So there's a differentiation when you see like a young lady that's raised with a father figure that actually cares for them and that's actually raising them up to do righteousness. So, of course, they may have their trials and their temptations, but I want to make sure I'm doing everything right as a father to be the example. They need to say, nah, my dad treats my mom this way, so this is how I want to be treated when I have a man in my life. Or I see how my dad respects my mother, I want to see that as well for me. So I feel like how I do as a father is going to really affect that as well, and how I instruct them as well.
And it does say that we should not have the spirit of fear or the ruach of fear, but do you have some type of fear? I mean, you are amassing a little tribe yourself. Do you ever think like one of those unclean ruachs that used to be attached to your bloodline would try one of your children, either when they become 10, 11, 12, or even in their adult years? Are you always in fear of that, or you just don't care?
It's stuff that you think about because you kind of like the older you get, I think the wiser you become, the more you realize it's a lot out here that people could get into. It's one mistake can mess up somebody's entire life, especially when it comes to stuff that happens in childhood, like molestation and all that. Or there's a lot of things that can make somebody go bad. But I truly believe if I do my best in humility and in righteousness before the Most High, He'll honor me in protecting and preserving my children. So.
Good. Well, this is about the end of the show where I let the guests give us some words of wisdom to young brothers out there that have gone through the same path you went through, or thinking about going through the same path as far as organizations, college, what to do with their life, and the identity that they need to have. What would you say to help these young brothers find the path of Yah?
I would say, first and foremost, seek the Most High, understand His commandments, understand His statutes, because that's going to save you a lot of trouble. When I grew up in Christianity, I grew up in the church for almost all my life. I still fell into all these sins because I didn't understand the gravity and the seriousness of the Most High's commandments and His judgment. The Most High is righteous in judging us, and we may not see it today, we may not see it tomorrow, you may not even see it a year from now, but that judgment is going to accumulate sooner or later, when you continue to violate his scriptures, violate his commandments. When it comes to these organizations, it's no joke. They humiliate you. There was a young man that died this year pledging to at Omega at Southern University, which I made a video on. There's people that are losing their lives. There's people that are have become disabled trying to join these organizations. When you have the favor of the Most High, when you have the Most High's Ruach in you. You don't need what everybody else needs to be successful in this life. You know, when even when we were in captivity, Daniel, Joseph, and a few others, Nehemiah, even those people that were in captivity, they still had favor with the Most High by seeking His commandments, by keeping His ordinances. So we don't need the same worldly system in order for us to be elevated before man, because the Most High will take up the lowly to confound the wise if you love Him and you are seeking Him diligently. So avoid, don't fall to the peer pressure because you don't want to give yourself over to these spirits. Because when you give yourself over to these spirits, especially when you have knowledge of it, you're going to be tormented way more. I had truly known, I didn't have a full scope of knowledge of everything that I was going to go through, but had I known and I did it, I'm pretty sure it would have been way worse. So if y'all listening to this now, take heed. The Most High using somebody else to say something is him speaking to you. It's him correcting you. And correction is the best form of mercy because he could let you go off the deep end. I'll finish on this. There was two young brothers that pledged Kappa last year. They got hit by some random driver in Houston this year and they both died together. You don't know what your judgment could look like. You know, and I think about that all the time. The Most High has spared me so many times. There'll be times I'll be traveling to different colleges, partying with different brothers, and then I'll be driving drunk home like 2 hours away to a different school or 2 hours away back to my college. And the Most High preserved and spared me. But there's many times that he could have done away with me. I don't know what the Most High's mercy looks like on your life, but he could do you way worse. He had mercy upon me, but I still had to take my licks. So you don't it what is Hebrews chapter 10, it says it's a fearful thing to be in the hands of a living Elo in the hands of the living Elohim. So I'll just leave off with that, family.
Good. And again, say your social so people know where to find you again.
Yeah, so I'm Watchman, OTW. So I'm on TikTok, also on IG. And thank you again, Larry, for bringing me on, brother. Appreciate the work that you've been doing, man. All the information, the scriptures that you bring out has helped me in my walk as well this year alone, in the last like 3 or 4 months since I've been listening to the pod. So I appreciate that.
I appreciate you contacting me and having you on. It was truly a blessing for this conversation.
Absolutely, brother.
Peace to you.
All right.